So we are in a new month. I love it. It's April. We have a new theme. The new theme is giant gentleness. Isn't that lovely? Just love that theme. Anyway, today's talk is big love because that's where I went with it, right? That's just where I went with it. Anyway, the theme giant gentleness brings up pictures in my mind. Manatees. I go to manatees right away. Can you just picture? Just floating along, right? They're just floating along the river. Giant gentleness. Huge blue whales, right? Diving and coming up and gliding through the water. Elephants, right? Families of elephants walking the savannah. I just, you know, these are the pictures that come to my mind. Anybody? You relate? Can you relate to that? I know. Giant gentleness, or gentle giants, right? They're gentle giants. And yes, I know, I've heard about the elephants, you know, getting rowdy, because elephants can get rowdy. I know they kick over huts every now and then and do stupid stuff. But I think of them as gentle giants, right? That's where my mind goes when I think of this term, giant gentleness. I think teddy bears. Remember when you were a little kid? There was always that toy store that had that gigantic, right? The gigantic bears. I think of teddy bears. As I remember when we were little, we used to walk up Fifth Avenue and look at all of the stores, Lord & Taylor, and they all had the Christmas decorations in the window, and we'd get up a certain point, and FAO Schwartz was there. And you'd look, go in there, it was like they had like a room full of teddy bears, all different sizes and stuff. And so I think of giant teddy bears, you know, they're gentle, right? I always wanted to take one home and snuggle with it. You know, they were huge. You never hear about teddy bear wars, right? They're giants. No teddies going into battle. No teddy gangs breaking into homes or carjacking. It just doesn't happen. Teddies are just gentle beings. And gentle, here I looked it up. Gentle is that quality of being kind and tender, mild-mannered, softness of action or effect, a lightness. It's a nice definition. But let's go a little further than that, right? Let's go to giant gentleness. Like an amount. How's that sound? Does that sound good? Like a large amount of gentle. How much gentle can we demonstrate? You know? So when I thought of a large amount of gentle, I thought of the term big love, right? Because that's what that is. When we're brave enough, when we're big enough, when we're open enough to experience and let flow through us, big love. I think of that as giant gentleness, today's title. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, love is kind, gentle, and understanding. It is tolerant of others, and it reaches back through indifference and coldness to life, to something warm and pulsating that is at the very center of everything. And love is something that the more you give, the more you get back in return. But refusing to give it out seems to short-circuit any possibility of its returning. So it's one of those things, right? You can't outgive God. You can't outlove God, right? The more you give, the more it seems we manifest. And you know, the Bible talked extensively about love, right? I mean, a bunch of times. In Corinthians, particularly that the 13, right? Love is patient, love is kind. We've all heard that. That's all, every marriage ceremony, I think, that you've ever been to has used that term. It starts off with, you know, I can have all the material things in the world, but if I don't have love, I have nothing. And at the end of the passage, it says, you know, faith, hope, and love, and of these three, right, the greatest of these is love. It talks extensively about love in the Bible, in Old Testament and New Testament, both Testaments, you know, they both cover it. In Deuteronomy, love the Lord, right, with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And then in Leviticus, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? That comes from the Old Testament. Jesus in Matthew, he was just quoting from the Old Testament. He was co-opting. There was no New Testament at the time, right? There was just him. So he was quoting from the Old Testament, love God with all of your strength and heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. He was hearkening back to the Old Testament. And so the word love is found over 300 times in the Bible. 310, 11, 12, 16, depending on which Bible you use, right? They all have different interpretations. But the whole thing is just chock-packed full of love. And I tend to quote the Bible just because it's the sacred text I am most familiar with, having grown up in a Catholic household. And the Catholic Bible is different from the King James, too. It's just very confusing. Anyway, I'm just mostly, you know, familiar with the Judeo-Christian sacred texts because that's the one I grew up with. But love is all over the sacred texts of any major religion, right? The Buddha mentioned love. He mentioned in the Buddhist scripts, he mentioned the three types of love. He is the if I'm pronouncing it right, the paya love, which means love based on attachment, right? In which case we fear losing it. So it's a kind of a you know, sort of codependent kind of love. He's not really crazy about that one. Kama love, meaning a love based on attachment to information based on something, which I thought was interesting too, right? When we see something a certain way, we go, we're in love with it. I love it. It's great. I love it. But then when you see it maybe later on in a different context, you have different feelings about it. You no longer love it. And the third type of love he talked about was the one that Buddha taught and encouraged. He called it metta in Pali, which was the language I am assuming he spoke. It was not Sanskrit, it was Pali, and he said it was metta, a loving kindness in English. That's how we would refer to it. An independent love arising from goodwill and care for the other as a living creature, just for no other reason. You know, and I think we would call that metta love. We would call it unconditional love. We love others just for the being of them, just as they are living creatures. There is love in the Quran. Here's another sacred script. In the Quran, it says, wherever you turn, there is the face of God. Isn't that lovely? I mean, it's just lovely. And the word love is mentioned 83 times in the Quran. In Hinduism, it states that love is the fundamental basis of the divine nature. It is our fundamental nature to be love. So whatever major religion, ancient text that you look to, it's kind of a theme, you know? It's like, how do we mess that up so much? I mean, think about it, right? I mean, it runs through, and this is what Ernest Holmes' teaching was. The fact that he read extensively on all different religions and philosophies and sciences, and what he came to were these basic truths that run through all of them, and love is it. Love is the biggie. Runs through all the major religions. How did we mess that up so bad that we got to this place where my God can beat up your God? Ha, 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 you know? It's just not truth. Love is the basis for all of them. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, the two great commandments are love God and love your brother, right? Or sister, in any case, okay? Love humanity, love your neighbor. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Love is a complete unity with life. And we cannot enter into this state unless we are in unity with all that lives. For all life is one. To love God alone is not enough. For this would exclude our fellow humans. To love our fellow humans alone is not sufficient. For this would be too limited a concept of God. Too limited a concept of God. Right? And you know, this is about balance, right? This is about balance. I remember Kathy Hearn used to say, we can become so spiritual, we're of no earthly good. Right? You remember that? And it's true. And that's if we are not in balance. We need to have our spiritual being grounded in the physical. We need to be able to do both. Balance. Ernest Holmes was talking about balance in our spiritual practice, both and, right? Be that spiritual being that you are on earth so that you can do the work, right? We must heal ourselves. Heal how life got to be the way it is in our life. To heal that and then do the work as we grow and transform, we can facilitate the growth and the transformation of others. Don't you feel that? When you're absolutely positive about your spiritual growth and your spiritual path, you're a light in the world. And you just transform others by your presence in their lives as well. Samuel Johnson said, I love this, he said, kindness is in our power, even if fondness is not. You know, right? I mean, think about it, right? You are a light in the world, and you're going to shine, and you're going to shine on the people that you absolutely resonate with and love, 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 and even those that you don't. You know, well, you're supposed to love them. Just love them. Love them. See them as God sees them. But even if fondness is not there, that unconditional love can always be there. Even when we are not totally there, right? We're in process, aren't we? This is a spiritual path we're on. None of us are there, wherever there is. I don't even know if there's a there. I mean, all we're doing is we are walking this spiritual path. And we get to a place where we are so convinced of our goodness, of our wholeness, right? Ernest Holmes says we are whole, perfect, and complete. And we get to the place where we so understand what that means in our lives that we shine that for others. We become a place for others so that they can grow and change and transform. Ernest Holmes said, from selfish reasons alone, if from no other loftier reason, we cannot afford to find fault, to have or even hold in mind anything against any living soul. The God of love cannot hear the prayer of one who fails to love. I can just end it right there. And just let's go have coffee. Do you hear that? The God of love cannot hear the prayer of one who fails to love. So all those resentments you hold against people, all those judgments, all those things, they like, you know, the things under your breath, get rid of them. Just jettison them. Get rid of them. Just be love. Just be love, right? Because we wonder why our affirmations and our prayers and our meditations and our, and it's like, hey, wait, but wait a minute, it's not happening, right? Where is my manifestation? Well, where is your thoughts, right? Where are those thoughts? And if you're holding something against someone else, Ernest Holmes said, God can't hear the prayer if you're busy condemning somebody else. It's about being in love. It's about being in love with humanity. Yeah. My favorite expression lately is people are messy. Love them anyway. Right? Because people are messy. They absolutely are. What Ernest Holmes is saying here is we cannot expect to manifest our good while holding anything against someone else. Why? Because we're only one. Because we're one. There's only one God, there's only one life, there's only one experience. We're all sharing it. That would be like the finger, getting annoyed with the thumb. Why, right? Why hold something against something that is a part of who we are? All of humanity is one thing. It's a demonstration, it's an outpicturing of life. So holding something against someone else is like getting mad at your liver. It's like just not gonna work. And then say, I want my liver to be healthy and whole and complete. Oh yeah, but I can't stand my lungs. You know? It's not gonna work. We have to accept and love and just throw away all the resentments, all of the judgments, all of the other, right? When we look at people and go, that's another, that's not me, that's them. We have to get rid of all that stuff. We cannot expect to manifest our good while holding something against somebody else, another one of God's creations. We have to start where we are, though, right? You have to start where you are. We can't, and the other thing is we cannot wait till we're totally healed, because there are people that are like, I'm just working on myself, you know? It's like, I can't be bothered with you right now. I'm busy working on myself. We can't do that either. As we go, we're bringing everybody with us. We are changing, we are evolving, we are growing, and we're doing it all together, right? We're doing it all together. We are all in process. What was that, the Ram Dass thing about? We're walking each other home, We really are. We're just all walking each other home. We are all in process. We are all learning together, and we're all bringing each other with us, right? That becomes our superpower, though, doesn't it? Right? Doesn't that become our superpower? When we've got something, when we learned that lesson, when we got it, we're like, here, come on along. Let me tell you. Let me show you. Let me be that in front of you so that you can see it. It becomes our superpower. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late." Time to start is now. The time to see each other as love is now. The time to be joy in the room is now, because nothing else is guaranteed but this present moment. So we balance our inner work with our outer work, don't we? As we go along on the spiritual path and we become more enlightened and we become more awake and we understand why we do the things we do and we heal them, we start being a different person in the outer world, and then our outer world begins to transform. We also must balance the love and the law. This is the concept that Ernest Holmes brought so perfectly in the Science of Mind textbook. He said, "The great love of the universe must be one with the great law of its own being. And we approach love through law. This, then, is the teaching, love and law. As the love of God is perfect, so the law of God is also perfect. We must understand both." And that was the basis, really, for the textbook, that God is triune in nature, spirit, soul, body, right? Love and law is the way it works. Toward the end of his ministry, I remember Ernest Holmes was asked if he had any regrets, or if he had it to do all over again, would he do anything differently? And what he said was, "If I had it to do over, I would probably speak to the love more than I did. I would probably speak to the love more and the law less. But I thought everybody knew love." So he spoke extensively about the law. If you've read the textbook, you know a lot about the law, the way it works, right? But maybe not so much about the love. And he would say, "Love points the way, and law makes the way possible." This is how these two energies, these two aspects of God work. So love, the thing that's on your heart, the thing that you want to manifest more than anything else, that points the way. And as you accept that, as you demonstrate that, as you become that, law, which is that aspect of the divine that simply goes to work manifesting, well, manifests it. That's what he said. And so as a work in progress, that's us, a work in progress, we have to balance that as well. Balance that inner work with that outer work. Balance the law with the love. Balance the self-love with the love of others, right? We can't just become little hermits just working on ourselves and closing ourselves off to everybody else. Nope, I'm working on myself. I don't have time for you right now. I'm busy working on myself. We have to balance all of this. Balancing being the love and directing the law, because we're doing both all the time. And when we get that, we are in balance, right? Big love. It's loving to the max, loving without holding anything back. Scary place to be, isn't it? Ugh. Nobody likes being there. It's vulnerable. But that's what we're called to do. Choosing love all the time. Choosing love even if it's not returned. Doesn't that just feel wonderful? Ugh, right? Choosing love all the time, even if that's not what we get back. Choosing love even when it's not easy, even when someone is in their mess, right? Still choosing love. Choosing love even when it's rejected. I mean, is that me? Must be. Okay. It's choosing love, I mean, even in the worst of times, right? It's choosing love in all cases, because that's who we are. That is the truth of what we are. We always say God is love. Okay, This is like if A equals B and B equals C, right? A equals C. What is that? The distributive property of God? Okay, that's what we're doing, right? If God is love and we are God, right? We are made of the same stuff, then we are love. Ergo, I should have a blackboard. Anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? If we want to believe that God is all there is and God is love and we are that, then we are love as well. So that's what we are here to demonstrate. We're here to demonstrate just love. In all cases, love. In all cases, love. Now, it's not about transactional love. We're talking unconditional love. It's not about if you could, would you, right? If I could, would you? It's not a quid pro quo kind of love. It's not a, okay, I'll only love you if you do this, this, and this, you know, but if you're doing this and this, I'm out of here, right? It's not that kind of love. Unconditional love is unconditional love. It is not transactional, but it's also not codependent and it's not abusive, right? There are times you can love someone unconditionally and not want to have lunch with them. Been there, done that. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we are to look for God in each other and love this God, forgetting all else. But would this compel us to accept from people that which is not good? Of course not. It is not necessary for one to make a doormat out of himself to prove that God is love. For this would be like suffering for righteous sake, which is always a mistake. So you don't put yourself in harm's way just to prove you're so spiritual, right? You don't put yourself in the hands of an abuser just to prove that you love everyone unconditionally. We are spiritual beings. We are not spiritual doormats. Ernest Holmes said it. We can absolutely love unconditionally. We can absolutely love all of humanity. We can absolutely love those people we've met and not met. And we're also free not to go to lunch with them. If someone in your life is really, really, really toxic, it is okay to love them from a distance. Can we see the God in them? Absolutely. Can we know God is the truth of them? Absolutely. Is their unskilled behavior so overwhelming that it's toxic? Sometimes. Sometimes, yes. And so we are there. We are there. But loving is a risky thing, isn't it? It's a vulnerable place to put ourselves. But unconditional love calls us to do that. Even if it doesn't feel good sometimes, right? Even if it doesn't feel good, even if it's not returned, even if it is rejected, even if it's causing melodrama. Don't you dislike melodrama? I'm not a fan. I like good drama. If it's a good drama, that's great. If melodrama, not so much, right? But it's a risky place to put your heart. But unconditional love calls us to do that. And what are we going to do instead? What would we do instead? Instead of opening ourselves to the experience of life, all of it, the pain and the bliss and the highs and the low, what else would we do instead? C.S. Lewis wrote a book years ago titled The Four Loves. He was talking about the four different, you know, in the Greek, the four different types of love. But anyway, he said this. He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and with little luxuries, and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark and motionless and airless, it will change. Your heart will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, unpenetrable, and irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Love lavishly. Love greatly. Love without holding back your true self. And if your true self gets rejected, oh well. Continue to love lavishly and openly and authentically. Love without holding back your true self. Love even when people disappoint you. Love even when you are wronged. Love even when it hurts, right? Because spring comes around again. Absolutely, spring comes around again, and people change. And people heal themselves in your presence, and then they are reborn, and then you are reborn. You see how this works? People are messy. Love them anyway. Give second chances. Give third chances. Give fourth chances. People are messy. Love them anyway. Keep seeing the best in people, even if they're not showing you their best side. Because we know what? We know people are diamonds. I love this analogy, right? How many facets in a diamond? Everybody count all of them? I don't know how many there are. I'm sure there's some Google that'll answer that for you. But people are diamonds. They're multifaceted. We are multifaceted. Don't just look at one facet and go, oh, the hell with him. I can't do that. Or, you know, I can't be with her anymore because of that one facet, right? Don't look at the facet. Look at the diamond, right? We're multifaceted. We are so much more than one or two characteristics that we show each other, you know, and keep seeing the best in people. Don't make assumptions when they mess everything up, because they will. They do. They can. Can't you? Can I mess up things? Oh, you know, I've messed up a lot, you know. And I said, I'm sorry, and I make amends, and hopefully we, you know, heal that, whatever that is. With all the divisiveness going on in the world, with all the arguing, with all the vengeful talk, with all the put-downs, with all of the caustic remarks, with all the sarcasm there is. Man, I can't even put anything on Facebook anymore. Anybody? Social media is the worst. It is the absolute worst. I don't care which one you're on. You can't even put, you know, hey, it's a great day to have a great day. I love that. I love that affirmation. It's a great day to have a great day without somebody putting on there, don't you tell me what kind of day to have. I'll have whatever day I want to have, you know? And it's like, really? Really? You know, like people will find an argument in anything anymore, right? So in the face of all of that divisiveness and that sarcasm and that ugliness, wouldn't it be great just to be love? Just to be love, hold nothing against anybody. Just let them be whatever they want to do. People are messy, love them anyway. Wouldn't it just lighten your heart just to go around and be love, right? Social media, man, I didn't even mention politics, and I am not going to. Oy, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to be, I love, Marianne Williamson said something on social media the other day about there should be a Department of Peace because there's a Department of War, right? And she's all for, like, right, making it happen. What a wonderful idea. Let's be something we want to be and not something we're trying to avoid, right? Oh, Department of Peace, I love it. Maybe we should have a Department of Love, too. Because love is the truth of us. Love is the truth of us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's all we did? Let's just go out this week and just practice love. And if the people get cranky and grumpy around you, just love them more. People are messy. Love them anyway. Ernest Holmes said this. I'm going to finish with this. He said, my love goes out to everyone in the world. I do not exclude anything, for I love all nature and everything that is. My love is warm. And it lightens everything that it touches, and it goes out to all places. The love flowing through me is a power to all who come in contact with it, and all feel and know that I love. Love within me is complete and perfect. What an affirmation is that? How about we practice that? Thank you.